Good evening, my brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Father Chris, the associate pastor here at St. Mary's Catholic Center. On behalf of Father Will, the pastor here, as well as myself and all of our staff, deacons, religious sisters, it's definitely good to have you all here today, and a special welcome to any guests or visitors who may be joining us, those on the live stream. Maybe this is your first time to come to St. Mary's. You're definitely welcome here now and always. My friends, before I begin, just a couple of notes on what's happening now, before I reflect with you shortly on our gospel today. First off, as you came into the church, you probably recognize that their statues are covered. And this is a way for us to be able to anticipate even more, to thirst more for what will come on Easter. To recognize as we veil the things of this world, that what is to come, a resurrection that leads us to eternal life, this helps us in our own senses and our own humanity to be able to thirst greater for Easter Sunday. You'll also notice the altar being stripped, the altar symbolizing Christ as he was stripped of his garments. And so too last night in a solemn way that we stripped the altar of its cloth as well. And y'all probably know this as well too, that today is not a Mass, that Good Friday is the only day that is not a Mass in the church. That we consecrated the host that we will use today, the Eucharist, last night. And those are the ones that we will use today to distribute at communion time. But that we are continuing with the Triduum, so the liturgy that started yesterday and then will conclude with the vigil tomorrow. But today, on the day of our Lord's death, and that we come here without a Mass, but still with the Eucharist and communion. One last note is after this, we'll have something called the Solemn Intercessions. Maybe some of you remember these. It can seem a little bit monotonous or tedious at times. But I encourage you, if you start to be struck in that way as you're standing and kneeling, is to be able to recognize the beauty of these prayers being prayed. And not only are they being prayed in this church, but in every single Catholic church across the world, praying these same intercessions that the Lord may have mercy on us, on his people. My brothers and sisters, today on this Friday that we call Good, we commemorate, we remember, we venerate, we adore and lift high the cross. The cross, the sign of our Christian faith. The cross that we see on our rosaries and in our dorm rooms, maybe in our apartments or houses, on necklaces or bracelets, and throughout our churches. The very cross that we make on our bodies as Catholics as we begin and end our prayers in order to remind us who we are. The cross is an instrument to remind us we are Christians. But out of any symbol in our rich faith tradition, why did the early Christians, the early church, choose the cross to represent our faith? As we know, the cross originally was an instrument of torture and of execution that was commonly used for criminals in ancient Rome. So why did they choose the cross? The cross. Some of you have experienced it deeply in your lives. The cross of losing a loved one, of living with a great illness, struggling with an addiction, the agony of a broken family, loneliness, or even the tension that comes from being a finite human being and not being able to be in control. And whether in our past, the present, or whatever may come in the future, our crosses come in all different sizes and weights, some heavier, some lighter, all of them crosses. All of them instruments of suffering. So once again, my friends, we may ask ourselves, why did the early Christians choose an instrument of suffering for the symbol to represent our faith? My brothers and sisters, as we know, our crosses in our churches and in our homes are usually not empty. They have a body on them, a person on them. They are not only crosses, but crucifixes, in which the Son of God, Jesus Christ, hangs upon for the world to see. Christianity lifts high and gives honor to the instrument of suffering that led to the death of our God. A death in which time stood still and the world was changed forever. A death that freed us from the chains of sin and gifted us our salvation. Jesus Christ's suffering and death on a cross transformed the cross from an instrument of suffering to an instrument of love. And when we unite our crosses and suffering with that of Jesus's on the cross, my friends, then he also gives us the power to transform our crosses from instruments of suffering to instruments of love. The cross for the early Christians, many of whom were also crucified upon and gave up their lives for their faith, chose the cross as the sign of Christianity because they knew the power of the cross as a sign of love, a sign of Jesus's love, first and foremost for God the Father, as he was obedient even unto death, death on a cross, but also a sign of love for you and for me. It was not the nails that kept Jesus on the cross, my friends. It was his love for you. So when Jesus tells his disciples, as he tells you and I today, to pick up our crosses and follow him, he's inviting us into this great mystery of our baptism and our very identity, who we are as Christians. This mystery that if we die with Christ, then we will rise with him. If we die with Christ, then we will rise with him. Do we believe that? If we unite our crosses, our sufferings with Christ, that he will transform them into great love. Do we believe that? And the greater the cross, the greater the suffering, the greater opportunity for a profound love. My friends, as we know to the world, this seems absurd. But with the eyes of faith, it changes everything. The culmination of Jesus on the cross, as we heard in our gospel today, is when Jesus' side was pierced from the sword of the soldier below him and into his heart. A heart that was pierced for our transgressions. The human heart of Jesus that longs for us, that beats for us, that thirsts for us. The human heart that we know too well from our own experience is the place of great suffering. But we also know that the heart is a place of great love. For it is in the heart that these great sufferings and crosses we carry can be transformed and maybe not taken away in this life, but always transformed with Christ into moments of peace, hope, and love. Now at the foot of the cross stood John, the beloved disciple, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. But as we heard in our gospel today from the Gospel of John, the beloved disciple's name, John, is not mentioned at the foot of the cross. He's only called the disciple. And this allows you and I, my friends, to take his place and to stand before Jesus, who hangs on the cross with Mary next to us, consoling us, always leading us to her son. Mary, as our mother, is here for us, given to us at the foot of the cross by Jesus, in some of his final words. Now, after the greatest gift of the Eucharist that we spoke of last night, the second greatest gift that God could give us is his mother. And our God, who is Father, and his Son, who is our Savior, yes, they're good and sufficient for us, but they desire more. They desire for us to have an abundance, and they desire for us to have a mother who can go, that we can go to, whom she can pray for us, she can comfort us, and she can gently guide us to her son. And as the scripture says, so that we can welcome her into our home. My friends, tonight we commemorate and lift high the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross of Christianity, of our faith, the cross that reminds us who we are, an instrument of suffering transformed by our Lord into an instrument of love. In just a moment, I will receive the cross and reverence it with a kiss. And I invite you for this year only to make a reverence of your own to the cross with a bow or a genuflection. As you come to the cross, think of the crosses in your life, no matter how big or how small, and unite them to the cross of Jesus. And if you need a little help or encouragement, ask Our Lady to pray for you and to walk with you, to help you to unite your cross to her Son's. For my friends, Jesus promises us that if we unite our crosses with his, unite our sufferings with his, he will transform these instruments of suffering into instruments of love, instruments of our salvation.
Thank you for listening to Aggie Catholic Homilies. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Aggie Catholic Talks, to hear talks from Magnify, Catholicism 101, and more. Thanks, God bless, and gig 'em.